The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to John.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the gatekeeper opens. The sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise be to you, Lord Christ.
Good morning again. Welcome to All Saints. We're so glad you're here with us. Would you join me in prayer? Father in heaven, we do thank you for your word. It is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. Though the grass withers and the flowers fade, your word will last forever. Lord, would you this morning make my words and the meditation of all of our hearts pleasing in your sight? O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Well, we are in week two of our midsummer mini-series in the Psalms. And today we come to Psalm 23. It says a psalm of David, who was a shepherd. Often it's associated with death and funerals, but really David's prayer is declaring a way to live, a lifelong pilgrimage following the Lord, his shepherd. Some of you know that in less than 2 weeks, our son Garrett is going to be married. I've been thinking a lot about him, more than usual recently, and this week particularly in light of Psalm 23, thinking about his namesake, my Austin grandmother's father, John Garrett, who lived a Psalm 23 life of dependence on Jesus Christ. Naming our son Garrett was kind of a prayer to the Lord, asking that our son would live the faith of his twice great-grandfather, John. His life was in contrast to his older brother, Pat, who lived a life of independence from God, a source of great anguish for John, no doubt. A tale of two brothers, emblematic of the choice we each have to live dependent on Christ or independent from him. As with all of us, they both experienced painful consequences of sin and brokenness in our fallen world. But their response was quite different. In the tumultuous aftermath of the Civil War, they and their three siblings lost both their parents within less than 5 months. With their family farm in northern Louisiana having more than $30,000 in debt, which in today's dollars, more than $650,000 in debt, the children went to live with extended family nearby. John grew up, as I said, to be a devout Christian. Through lots of help and blood, sweat, and tears, he eventually turned the family farm into a successful enterprise. He and his wife had 10 children. No, not Catholic, but very strong Methodists. In church every Sunday, he'd always invite any newcomers to church over to their house for lunch to show the grace and hospitality of Jesus. There was no Chick-fil-A nearby, so his wife had to run her own Chick-fil-A by way of the hen house out back, where she was known when there were unexpected visitors with all those mouths she already had to feed. She would go back, wring a neck, pluck it, and throw it in the fryer to make extra for the visitors. In contrast to John's faith, Pat grew to become a self-described agnostic. Instead of staying in Louisiana, he went west and, in no particular order, became a buffalo hunter, bartender, cowboy, customs agent, even a Texas Ranger. And if you know your American Wild West history, you may have heard of him. Yes, my grandmother's uncle was Sheriff Pat Garrett, who killed the outlaw Billy the Kid in 1881 in Lincoln County, New Mexico. While our psalm describes well John's life of dependence on the Good Shepherd of John chapter 10, Pat's life declared the kind of independence from God clearly expressed in the poem of his contemporary William Ernest Henley entitled Invictus. Invictus from the Latin undefeated or invincible. The poem begins, "Out of the night that covers me, black as the pit from pole to pole, I thank whatever gods may be for my unconquerable soul." And then it ends referring to Matthew chapter 7, the narrow gate that leads to life, and referring really to Scripture generally when it says, "It matters not how straight the gate, how charged with punishments the scroll. I am the master of my fate. I am the captain of my soul." That's the way Pat seemed to live. The Oklahoma City bomber Timothy McVeigh chose this poem as his final statement before his execution in 2001. The question Psalm 23 asks us this morning is, how are you responding to the broken circumstances, unexpected situations in your life? Are you living a life of independence from Christ or dependence upon Him, following the voice of His word? 2 points to consider this morning: shepherd and host. First, shepherd. Verses 1-4, we see our shepherd. "The Lord is my shepherd. Lord is my shepherd." Four words that act as a title to encapsulate the whole psalm. And if you let these four words sink in, they are earth-shattering. Here's why. The word Lord there in all caps is the name of the Lord that he answers from the burning bush. I am who I am. The only one who is truly independent, self-sufficient, inexhaustible, timeless, unchanging, the one who needs nothing. He has chosen to become my shepherd, your shepherd. This job was always given to the youngest of any sons in the family, like David, the youngest of his brothers, because it was considered the lowliest work. And that's because of who sheep are. They require unending care, 24/7, day and night, summer and winter, rain or shine. Who in their right mind would choose such a role? Our gospel reading from John 10 tells us, the good shepherd, Jesus, who gives his life for his sheep so that we lack nothing. But left to themselves, sheep lack everything. Now, I recognize I'm treading in dangerous territory here because, as my ranching grandfather used to call me pejoratively, I'm a city boy. I was raised in Dallas. We didn't have sheep in our backyard. I don't know much about country life or ranching or livestock. I could have asked my cousin Garrett, who grew up in Johnson City and was the president of his 4-H club, and now he's a vet in the Marble Falls, Horseshoe Bay area, but he didn't know much about Middle Eastern sheep management. Not like Pastor Keller. No, not our own Josh Keller, and certainly not Tim Keller, but Philip Keller. Philip Keller, who was a shepherd for 8 years before he became a pastor and an author. The author of A Shepherd Looks at Psalm 23. He says, "Of all animals, sheep are completely unable to live independently and prosper. But sheep who have a good shepherd shall not want. They lack for nothing. They have all they need. Verse 2, they have rest. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. Pastor Keller explains that sheep need four things before they'll lie down. They must be free of fear, free of famine. They need to be fed. They need to be free of friction, anything going on with other sheep that disturbs their peace. And then they need to be free of flies, any kind of distraction from pests before they will lie down and rest. Only a shepherd can provide sheep with the freedom from all these distractions so they can lie down and rest. Isn't it interesting that David begins this psalm with rest? I don't know about you, but that's not how I tend to live. I tend to get up and make a to-do list and then start working down my to-do list until I check it off. I need to be made or urged to rest. Dallas Willard says of Psalm 23, it speaks of, quote, abundance with sufficiency for those who are willing to let loose of all the lies about what we need and what we can achieve on our own, unquote. Psalm 23 reminds us that the life Christ offers begins with focus on and resting in Him, our Good Shepherd. John 10, our Good Shepherd provides all we really need. He already has. He's given His life for us. He's the perfect provider of all of our needs. Elizabeth Elliot says of God, sometimes, quote, He makes us wait. He makes us walk when we want to run, sit still when we want to walk. For He has things to do in our souls that we are not interested in, unquote. Friend, are you resting in Christ today? What distraction do you need to take to Him that's keeping you from truly resting in Him? Matthew 11, come to me, Jesus says, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. The Good Shepherd provides rest, and verse 3, He provides life to His sheep. He restores my soul, or another translation, He restores my life. The Hebrew here allows for a restoration of both spiritual and physical life. It can be an idiom meaning He brings me to repentance or conversion, but it can also mean He restores my physical health. Pastor Keller here gives the example of a cast down sheep where it's turned over on its back and can't get up by itself. The way it happens is this. A sheep will lie down comfortably in some little hollow or depression in the ground. It may roll on its side slightly to stretch out or relax. Suddenly, the center of gravity in its body shifts so that it turns on its back far enough that the feet no longer touch the ground. It may feel a sense of panic and start to paw frantically. Frequently, this only makes things worse. It rolls over even further. Now it is quite impossible for it to regain its feet. As it lies there struggling, gases begin to build up. As these expand, they tend to retard and cut off blood circulation to extremities of the body, especially the legs. If the weather is very hot and sunny, a cast sheep can die in a few hours. Friend, are you a cast down sheep today, spiritually stuck on your back? Or do you know someone who is? If so, call out to the Good Shepherd, or to one of His under-shepherd leaders in the church. Peter was like this in Matthew 26 after he denied the Lord three times, and Jesus came to him three times, Peter, do you love me? And He restored Peter for use in Christ's kingdom. Yes, the Good Shepherd gives rest, life, and verse 3, guidance. He leads me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Sheep are some of the most stupid, foolish animals in God's creation. They can be brought to the best grazing lands near abundant water and then wander off and starve in barren fields with undrinkable water. Or they can remain in a good spot for so long that every blade and root are eaten and the field is ruined. No livestock require more careful attention than sheep. But if we're honest about our sinful tendencies, they reveal sheep to be our moral, spiritual doppelgangers. Isaiah 53, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord has laid on Jesus, the Messiah, the iniquity of us all. Through Christ, God leads us to upright moral paths for his glory and our benefit as we follow his voice, especially in his word. Pat Garrett is a negative example here, and I'm so glad my dear Mamaw did not have access to the internet while she was living, because I'm certain she didn't know about several things in his life, as the record reflects. That once when Pat had dinner with his friend Teddy Roosevelt, he brought along a man of ill repute to join them, which publicly embarrassed the president and cost Pat his job. And at another point, Pat left his wife and 8 children at home in New Mexico while he lived with a prostitute in Texas, which also cost him another job. His life had all sorts of financial problems and failures. We all need guidance outside ourselves from the Good Shepherd, who knows the way we should go. We get in trouble when our only guide is ourselves. The Good Shepherd, yes, gives his sheep rest, life, guidance, and verse 4, safety. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. As I said earlier, Psalm 23 is often comfort to those who are dying, and rightly so. However, this verse primarily speaks of the shepherd protecting his sheep in moments of danger while living. The rod being a cudgel to strike a predator, and the staff a cane to guide and corral the sheep, or to strike an olive tree for fallen olives to feed the sheep. Keller explains that verse 4 here pictures the seasonal passage of flocks from the lowlands where sheep spend the winter through valleys to high pastures where they spend the summer. These valleys have plenty of vegetation and water, but all sorts of danger. Dark, sunless shadowlands where wild predators hide in canyon crevices and flash floods from sudden storms. Like the Christian life, it's not always a serene mountaintop experience, but often it's in the trials and dangers of the valleys that God develops our character and dependence on him as he calms us, especially with his presence, protects us from our enemies, and gives us a peace beyond understanding. After John Garrett and his wife had 10 children, tragically, his wife died. Can you imagine being left with 10 children, the temptation to despair, the temptation to fear he must have had? But he knew the Lord. He trusted in his shepherd. He trusted in his presence and provision. And so he married again. He married my great grandmother, Catherine McKinnon, with whom he had 6 more children. God bless the energy of farmers. Must be something about that North Louisiana rich dirt. I don't know, but I wish I had it. I'm thankful he overcame his fear because number 16 was my grandmother. I am especially glad he overcame his fear. And the instrument his shepherd used to provide extra for all those children, it didn't strike an olive tree on their farm. It struck oil, enough to provide. Psalm 37, I've been young and now I am old, yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his children begging for bread. The Lord, who is our good shepherd, is also, point two, our host, verses 5 and 6. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. This mercy and goodness shall, better translation, pursue me all the days of my life in the Hebrew. God's goodness and mercy pursues his sheep. Keller tells us that before a good ancient Near Eastern shepherd would bring his sheep to their summer pastures, he'd prepare the high tablelands or mesas by removing physical hazards, destroying poisonous plants, and driving away predators. They'd also apply an olive oil-based ointment to the sheep to protect them from harmful insects and promote healing of infectious skin ailments. Similar to what an ancient Near Eastern hospitable host would provide at their home upon a friend's arrival from pilgrimage. Aromatic anointing oil to soothe sun-dried skin, and overflowing wine to quench a parched throat and gladden the heart. The Good Shepherd is our heavenly host at his communion supper, where he has prepared his table for us in the presence of our enemies of sin and death. And Revelation 7 shows us that he has overcome this sin and death as the perfect sacrificial Lamb of God, who washes away our unrighteousness in his blood to clothe us in his white robes of righteousness. He anoints us with the oil of his Holy Spirit, and he nourishes us now with his body given and his blood shed to continue in our pilgrim journey toward our heavenly home, which he is preparing for us to join his eternal flock, a great multitude no one can number, from every tribe, tongue, language, and people. Not Josh or Phil, but Tim Keller says this, quote, God has a celebration meal with us, not after we finally get out of the dark valley, but in the middle of it, in the presence of our enemies. He wants us to rejoice in him in the midst of our troubles. Is our shepherd out of touch with reality? Hardly. Jesus is the only shepherd who knows what it is like to be a sheep. He understands what we are going through and will be with us every step of the way, even through death itself, unquote. Pat Garrett, as I said, died an agnostic. He was shot and left alone on the side of the road. His death is still on the list of well-known unsolved murders to this day. Dallas Willard says, deny yourself and follow Christ, or deny Christ and follow yourself. Those are the options. The results? Saving your life or losing it, unquote. John Garrett's death was quite different. He was at home, surrounded by his family, including my mamaw. For 3 days in bed, he went in and out of consciousness. At times, he'd speak to people who were not visible in the room. My grandmother would say, Mama, who's he talking to? Sweetie, those are family and friends who have gone on to be with the Lord years ago. And all of a sudden, he'd begin singing in the middle of a hymn and then say, don't you hear them? I want to go, but I don't want to leave you. friends, as we follow our good shepherd, wherever he leads, sometimes the veil between this life and the next becomes thin. I imagine when we finally get to our heavenly home, we'll wonder why we held on here so long. Until then, let us live a life of dependence on our shepherd host, on his voice from his word, so that others might see and be gathered into his eternal flock, where he quenches our thirst with living water and wipes away every tear from our eyes. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, would you join me in prayer? Thank you, Heavenly Father, for sending your sacrificial risen Lamb, Jesus Christ, who reigns with you, who is our good shepherd, our friend, our host at your table now and forever in our heavenly home with you. We pray in his strong and precious name. Amen.